Astro Dave Renicky. He's got a great website, davidrenicky.com. Got the man with me, though. David, hello. Happy 50th moon landing. Is it this week?
I thought you were going, happy 50th birthday. I thought nobody would recognise you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Happy 50th, David.
Yeah, it is a big one, isn't it? The day we all remember where we were here in Australia, Monday. Yep, Monday the 21st of July. And I think around about 20 minutes to 12, 1 o'clock if I remember, in the afternoon.
Were you in school and you're watching it on the screen?
No. I was well out of school by then. I don't know where I was. I was 22, I know that much.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in front of a black and white TV set and I stayed there for 2 days. I just watched the whole thing from start to finish. I slept there, I ate there, everything. I just couldn't get enough of it. It was something that I grew up with, the culmination of 10 years of watching this whole thing develop, and it did.
So, isn't it a pity that back in the day, all we saw was the results of them pointing a television camera at a monitor, and only the other day I noticed there was all these archives of the crystal clear prints of film from the moon. I mean, that's now in the National Film and Sound Archive, which is awesome.
Yes. Yeah, there was a lot of things that went on. The camera they used on the moon there was made by Westinghouse, and they made it in the wrong format. It couldn't be transmitted over television. So when it came here to Honeysuckle Creek, it was moved on to Parkes there, and we took the rest of the moon landing. But then it was sent over to Gore Hill in the ABC Gore Hill in New South Wales.
I never realised that, and I know the Dish movie covered this, but they had a special on the other night saying the day of the moon landing in Parkes, it was almost a cyclone.
Yeah, it was. Never has there been, in 10 years, there's ever been a wind like that.
Yeah.
They usually park the telescope when it gets to 55K. In other words, they don't have it open like a standing upright. It's just catching all the wind. Like, you know, if you hold a sheet up in the wind, it'll billow a sail. But if you turn it sideways, it won't, and that's what they usually do.
Right.
But this is an extremely different situation. This is history. There's no way in the world you just sort of think, well, we'll do this tomorrow. We'll park the telescope tonight. But what they did, the moon was just rising here, and was lucky that Armstrong took a long time to suit up. And the moon was only just rising here in Australia. That's why we got to take the feed, you know, from Parkes. And the telescope was the dish was facing straight ahead, and the speed got up to 80 or 90 K. It was rocking on its bolts. They were about to lose the telescope. The decision was made to continue regardless of what, you know, whatever happened, because this will never happen again. This is one event in history that will never be repeated. You can't go back, and like a wedding, you can't go back and redo it.
Mm.
So anyway, they did start to take the images. Everyone was worried. The speed got up to 110 K.
Wow.
And that was... it was amazing. Everybody thought that this telescope would not last the distance, but it did. So you can understand why the images weren't as good as what you expected. But it's all history now, and it's all shown to be that we're celebrating 50 years now. It's gone very quickly.
Incredible. And you know, we talk about the Parkes radio telescope doing its bit, but you've got a great story on davidrenicky.com how a TV repairman, a waitress and a Croatian migrant helped the US via the Carnarvon tracking station. What's that story?
Oh, you've got to go and look at this. I mean, this is a really detailed story of how some of these unsung heroes in the background were working there, and they remember what it was like at the time. There's only a handful of people in the world who've ever seen the raw footage that came back from the moon. The original reel, that big reel, and one of many that was recording the images coming back, had been lost for many, many years. They lost it for about 40 years.
Did it end up in a collector's basement somewhere?
No, it ended up in a crate. I think at Curtin University, one of those. Yeah. Students have been sitting on the crate for 10 years. Doing lessons, and they traced the reel back, and they found the original downloaded reel. This is the image coming back from the moon that was recorded raw. Now, when they took that can out, that film, that was magnetic tape that radio stations and television stations used at the time. When they took it out, they found a machine at Goddard, and they played it. And when they played it, they found out it had been wiped over, been recorded over.
Right.
So it was common knowledge in NASA at the time. The directive was made, of course, to reuse all the magnetic tape to save time, save money, and they did. So it's really sad to say that, you know, NASA was good at putting a man on the moon, but their housekeeping really sucked.
Mm. This day and age, everything gets saved. I mean, our phone numbers, our conversations, our bank transactions, it'll be there for the rest of time. So
I'm going to tell you something now that not many people know about. Yeah. This is something that you can only, if you're a historian like me, you dig. The moon landing itself was almost shelved. It nearly didn't go ahead. History could have been changed very quickly had it not been for a series of events that we know quite well. Now, I'm going to make a statement to you, and you're going to think this flipped out, but the moon landing itself went ahead because of the antics of one man. And that man's name was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Really?
Yeah.
Explain
Here's
that.
What happened. Yeah, this is true. It's a matter of record now that this really took place. Look, in 1961, Kennedy initiated the moon race. He said, we want to get a man on the moon and bring him back before the end of the decade. This galvanized the entire world. We were part of it. We all lived through it. We watched it develop. But things were going wrong in 1963. NASA's budget was overblown. It was up to $20 billion now for the moonshot, and it was growing. It was getting more and more. Congress said to NASA, we're going to cut your budget. We're going to pull the plug on the moon program.
Yeah.
Now, how sad was this? Kennedy put staked his whole reputation on it. His administration would be behind it.
Yeah.
The entire world was there. We'd already spent $20 billion. What are you going to do here? So what Kennedy did was, and this is a matter of record, on this date, September 21, 1963, Kennedy spoke at the United Nations, and he turned to Khrushchev, and he said to Nikita Khrushchev, the United States is offering to share it with you. Will you be in that?
Wow.
Would the Soviet Union like to make a joint effort to put two people on the moon, yours and our people?
Wouldn't that have been fantastic?
To save the mission. Do you know what Khrushchev said? He said, I'd like to talk to you about that.
Yeah, okay.
So a meeting was tentatively set up for later in the year, but a few weeks later, Kennedy was killed.
Right.
Now, what would have happened had that meeting gone ahead?
Well, we would have been United Earth. We would have actually done something together to prove our, you know, unity as mankind.
It would have been good. I mean, it was good what happened, but the reason it went ahead was interesting too. So this was a tragedy in itself, and I remember where I was, and everyone else remembers where they were too, when Kennedy was assassinated. But when Johnson took over, and he was the architect of all this, he was the one that prompted Kennedy to push for it and go for it. Kennedy didn't want to do it. He didn't want to spend the amount of money. But Johnson said, look, the Cold War, remember? And Johnson said to him, Jack, you want to look at this because the country that has space superiority has the upper hand.
Right, okay.
And, I mean, they knew that the Russians could launch satellites, and if they could launch satellites, they could put atomic bombs in them.
Yeah, politics won out, yeah.
Yeah, this is why the moon landing went ahead. It's a chest-beating exercise. But look, when Kennedy was assassinated, the entire world cried. We all did, because this is not only the loss of an American president and one that everybody loved, but it was also a loss for us too, because we were working alongside them. This is one of the greatest events in history, and it looked like it was going to finish, but it didn't. Here's what happened. Johnson said to NASA, go and do it. I don't care how much it costs. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
You've got as much money as you like. And they did that. He said, we're going to do it for Jack. And the entire world got behind him. To keep Kennedy's promise to him and to the entire world, by putting a man on the moon and getting him back in the same decade, that's what they did. They did that. So in my opinion, looking on it, had it gone the way it might have, NASA, you know, cancelled the budget, Kennedy would have stayed in power there had he not been assassinated.
Mm.
I think the Americans would have walked on the moon early in 1970 or 1971.
Yeah, okay.
But it would have laid open quite easily the door for the Russians to do it. And I think they would. I think within a few months they would have put cosmonauts on the moon. History would have would have been different.
Yeah.
See, if so it shows you how it all plays out, doesn't
if
it?
If they could have put politics and science and scientific studies aside, we would have had a totally different society, you know what I mean? But everything sort of intermeshes, and that's what, you know, and politics gets involved, humanity gets involved, and look what happens. We have what we have, but wow, can you imagine, like, Brian, by now, if that had been the case, we'd have probably be going to Mars already. We'd have a joint space.
We'd have a joint base there.
Yeah, we'd have a base on the moon. We'd be a bit like what we have on the satellite orbiting the ISS at the moment, which is probably our first sort of wandering into unity in space. But I mean, we should have. Oh God, what was wrong with us?
There are so many things that didn't go right. Things that could have gone better. And of course, I did write that ebook, and that's still available on my website if anyone wants. I've had quite a lot of people download this in the past week. It's $14.95. It's complete. 50 things you didn't know about the moon landing. Some of the stuff in there will raise the hair on the back of your neck.
And look, this is the time people want. If you want to get a present for someone to celebrate the moon landing, this is the week to do it. Apollo 11, The Untold Story, available now. I've got it linked up too at our Facebook and website, David. A couple of other things before we go, David. I mean, it's a very important event, the moon landing, but what people didn't realise, and I love this story, you talk about it every so often, there's some great spin-off inventions that came out of the space program, which I just love.
Yeah, well, one of those is the iPhone, or the smartphone that you're using. You know, the miniaturisation of cameras to fit in there was all part of the Mars program. What about the Dustbuster? This is only made possible. Black & Decker...
What?
Yeah, Black & Decker worked with NASA to develop a lightweight, power-efficient tool for the lunar surface drill to suck the debris up.
Yeah.
And they built the Dustbuster for the moon landing. It was also used in the design for the Dustbuster for your home. Thermal blankets. The silver bank blanket, that space blanket worn by marathon runners and emergency patients, was born from the Apollo 11 mission to insulate astronauts in the spacecraft while they're in space. Okay. Advanced cameras, the little cameras that we talked about, they're your cell phones now. It was cell phones.
And I remember as a kid, David, you'd have space sticks wrapped in foil.
Yeah.
At the school tuck shop. That was great.
Other things too, firefighting uniforms, you know, the material used in those was made possible thanks to Apollo 11. After a cabin fire killed three Apollo mission specialists and the astronauts there, of course, in Apollo 1, they had to make the suits flexible and fireproof. Vacuum-sealed food, there's another one. Vacuum-sealed food that you got in the supermarket now is a NASA spin-off.
Wow.
Made because of the food in space would spoil very quickly. So it had to be sealed like that. Vacuum packaging prevents microorganisms from spreading too and makes sure astronauts don't get sick in space. And even your sneakers, if you've got your very expensive... You got those $200 Nikes on at the moment?
Oh, I wish I could afford them, David.
Well,
$10 special from Kmart for me.
Those soles used there, and the company called Avia also turned to NASA too, to create shock-absorbing soles that didn't break down under pressure and were used on things like the moon boots. They're all a spin-off. There's over 1,000 things we're using today that are a direct result of the space program. And a lot of people say they should spend money here instead of spending it on space missions. Well, they have.
Don't worry, the Australian economy is going to be boosted by our very own space agency, and anyone who's keen to see how that is working, there's that special on the ABC, that Sky thing with Brian Cox coming up, if people want to check that out. By the way, I've got to ask you, David, I did see in various moon specials that Neil Armstrong did go against advice and wanted to do the moon walk early. I mean, imagine if he'd waited the 6 hours, Parks would have been under control and it would have been a very smooth ride.
Yeah, well, they were really pushing it because the moon hadn't risen here in Australia at the time. Nobody could get a decent image of the moon coming back. It was coming up over the horizon when he started to say that he was going to do the EVA. So it was his job. He was the boss. He could call the shots. He didn't give two hoots about history. He was there to do a job that he was paid to do. Not very well, but he was, elected to take on this momentous role. In another time, he would have been Orville Wright. So he decided to suit up, and NASA said to him, "No, have a bit of a rest for a while." And then, how can you rest? You're on the moon.
Yeah, I know. You would have been out there the minute you landed.
I would have been before. And So it took a while to suit up. It took them a while to do that in the confined area they had on the lunar module sitting on the moon's surface there. So, and lucky for us, you know, that when he did go down that ladder and they pulled that lever to open that boom, the camera was on that. Lucky that opened up. We would have never seen him walk down there. And you know, when they left the moon, I don't know whether I've told you this, but it's worth reporting again, that when they left the moon there, of course, the switch was broken, and they used a pen in there to cross the
circuit. Oh, of course, yes, yes.
Yeah, that one of the switches was broken. But when they got to the lunar module, the Eagle lander, when it joined up with the spacecraft orbiting the moon, where Collins was waiting for them, the astronauts, apparently Armstrong, docked there, and he was to let Collins know that they had arrived and to open the hatch. So what he did was he went on the hatch. And guess what Collins said?
Bugger off. Who's there? Yeah, I hope he was joking. Can you imagine it was some green little Martian?
Well, you'd feel so good that you'd done that and you're back safely. That lunar lander, by the way, the Eagle lander, was jettisoned at that point and crash landed on the moon.
Right, so
it's in pieces on the moon
up there
still.
With the junk. All right,
we'll go and get that one day and bring it back.
All right, happy 50th moon walk anniversary, and Apollo 11: The Untold Story, available now at davidronicki.com. As I've said, I've got the links up there right now. David, we'll see you next time.
Au revoir.